Ne devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lita Shikesha Kandita Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. I'm going to zoom in on the last statement of this purport. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse many times, Krishna Varanam Tvishar Krishna, and he explains the word Sumedhasaha as having sufficient intelligence, as having sufficient brain substance. Such persons will worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the process of Sankirtan. Is everything okay? So what does this good intelligence mean? What is the meaning of intelligence? Intelligence is one of those abstract terms which everyone more or less has an idea what it means, but if you try to define it, you realize that it's very difficult to understand what it actually means, and to precisely define it. There are different kinds of intelligence. Yeah, that human beings have. For instance, good memory is a symptom of intelligence. The ability to think in abstract ways, to understand abstract concepts and to work with them, for instance, in mathematics and in many other fields. The ability to learn new skills, to learn new languages, whatever. We also talk about practical intelligence. And it's not that someone, it's very unusual that someone's intelligent and all-around intelligent. We often hear about, at least in English, and I'm sure you have them in Germany also, the absent-minded professor who's very intelligently thinking about so many things, but he can't find his spectacles, which he's pushed up on his above his forehead. Practical intelligence that may manifest, business intelligence. Srila Prabhupada, he once visited with many of his disciples a place called Modinagar, which was named after a certain Modi, not the one who is in the news nowadays, who Srila Prabhupada pointed out in private conversation. He was barely literate, but he was he had enough business intelligence to have a whole industrial complex named after him. Similarly, Henry IV, the first, is reputed to have been not much schooled, but he had business intelligence enough to start off one of the most famous companies in the world even today. So there are different kinds of intelligence, and we see even some subhuman species, they have some kinds of intelligence that humans don't have. They probably don't have even a concept of what it means to be intelligent, but they've somehow, out in the great ocean, the salmon finds her way back to the spawning ground. So if we were dumped in the ocean and told just to swim, apart from the fact that we don't have the ability to swim across half an ocean, to find our way just out in the ocean, we wouldn't be able to do it. We don't have that kind of intelligence. In our modern technological scientific age, persons are considered particularly intelligent, and of course this is a very broad statement, if they can apply their thought processes to various problems and overcome them, such as political problems. We don't find much success, but people are trying to solve various political problems, philosophical problems, psychological problems, and those who become most praised as great intellectuals, highly intelligent people, are those who successfully apply their intelligence to overcoming various problems in science and technology. There may be very intelligent people who spend their whole life working on various scientific problems, and they're not blessed by Krishna, although they wouldn't take it like that, to find out what the solution is. But those who come up with some solution, they become lauded as highly intelligent. And the great example of that in recent history is one Einstein. And there are many others. I would say most of the famous intellectuals in recent history are mostly in the science fields. What do you think about that? Yeah, either directly in science or thinking about science. And
they're the ones that get funded anyway.
Well, that's a good point. because you may say, well, why didn't Einstein chant Hare Krishna? Now, one answer to that might be, well, Srila Prabhupada hadn't come to the West by that time. But even though he famously said, and is considered to be one of his dumber statements among the scientific orthodoxy, that he doesn't believe that God plays dice with the universe, he's not famous for being a great theist. And today, probably the most prominent theists in the world, intellectuals in the world, are evangelically atheistic, if you can put those two words together. So why don't they chant Hare Krishna?
Big intelligence, yeah.
Right. They're big intelligence, then why don't they? Well, Srila Prabhupada, he tongue in cheek deals with this in the beginning of his commentary on the Namang Dushkrishna Murhavas, and in which he says that there are many great scientists, philosophers, intellectuals, and why don't they surrender to Krishna? And I'm paraphrasing. But he says, because they're envious of Krishna, they're demons. Actually, that's the reason. They have accepted a kind of intelligence by which Matiyana Krishne Paratasvato Vamito Bhipadita Grihavratana Madanta Gobhir Vishatanta Misram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. They are determined to go to hell. They don't want to go to Krishna, even if they come together and they're searching for whatever it may be, the dark mass in the universe, or they're searching for this or that, they're searching for some unified field theory. But they take it as axiomatic that there cannot be any metaphysical cause. I've just been going through some philosophy of science course, and the consistent endeavor is to rule out anything metaphysical. As soon as anything abstract comes in, then immediately the philosopher is shot down. We cannot accept anything, which isn't very, if we take science to be what it should be, then why not have any metaphysical aspect? But they're just doggedly, that's a good word. Yeah. Doggedly anti anything that we can't understand or we can't take under our intelligence. They're against any higher power. And the verse here that Srila Prabhupada quoted, Sumedasaha, people who are actually intelligent. Su can mean an intensifier, very. It can also mean that which is very good. The opposite is ku, kumedasa. So we find that certain people are very intelligent, and they're very intelligent in solving various problems, mostly that which other scientists have created in the present day. As is stated in Bhagavatam, that we solve problems, solving problems in the material world is like taking a weight off one shoulder and putting it on the other. And for a few meters as we're walking along, we think, that was very good. And then we find out, I've got another problem. Of course, life is much more complex than that. But real intelligence begins with, as we understand from Shastra, Atato Brahma Jignasa, to inquire into Brahma. And Brahma means Janmadhyasya Yataha, that from which everything comes, that which in everything rests, that in which everything ultimately enters again. So we may say, or the scientists may say, that they are also searching for that. But they, again, they presume, because they're determined not to be Krishna conscious. They're determined not to accept any metaphysical cause. I heard once Sri Damodar Maharaj say he had attended some conference in which scientists from all over the world, they were discussing about the origin of the universe, and they made a resolution at the beginning of the conference that we're not going to talk about anything God or any such thing here. Why not? As a hypothetical proposition, it seems to be a very good one, that there was someone who designed it all. But it's not allowed in science. And if you take all the observed data, it all fits into that theory. But they don't want it, because they are Danta Gopiya Vishatanta Misra. Their senses are uncontrolled. They take sense gratification to be the be-all and end of all of life. And the result is that they enter into greater and greater darkness. So that we see. Tamisram, that's generally taken to mean the hell. But practically speaking, we can see that for all the great intelligence of people, to not only in science but in social engineering and different ideas about the way human society should be set up, for generations, since time immemorial, we got it all wrong. Now we got it right. Now we understand that marriage is not required only for homosexuals. heterosexuals don't need it. Homosexuals do need it. You can't say that, because it's socially not acceptable to say such things. That the genders are exactly the same in all respects. Well, not quite. Almost. We may not even need males. We may just keep a few as studs, just for injecting the females. So they're convinced that they got it all right, and with their psychological speculations. Now we have everyone's equal in all respects, but the actual result is that the whole of human society is entering into darker and darker and darker darkness. The condition of human society is terrible, and we just can't imagine how it's going to get worse and worse. As Srila Prabhupada said, there will come a time when people have children. They might say, well, that's good, because at least in Europe we need some more population. But then Srila Prabhupada says people have children just to eat them. Can you imagine? It seems unimaginable. But then we see, as rapidly as time goes on, that the situation in the world gets worse and worse, and it's unimaginable. What was unimaginable becomes normal. So persons who are actually intelligent take part in the Sankirtan movement. According to IQ tests, probably most of us here, with no doubt some exceptions, would score above average, but nothing super, not up toward the Einstein. Of course, taking IQ tests demonstrates the kind of intelligence which is required for passing intelligence tests. Doesn't prove your ability to actually apply your intelligence in anything whatsoever. But our devotees don't seem to be very intelligent, and many people would think that our devotees are very unintelligent. I wonder what you're spending your life for, doing this. You only live once, and why are you doing this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was similarly criticized as being unintelligent. When he went to Varanasi, he was dancing around, and the sannyasi, what kind of sannyasi is this? He's supposed to be studying Vedanta, and instead he's just jumping around on the streets with a bunch of stupid, crazy people.
Low class.
Low class, yeah. Bhavuk, sentimentalists. Of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with them, they understood that, he's more intelligent than us. That is a great challenge for our devotees to tackle the intelligent people of this world. Devotees, their intelligence is good, their intelligence is pure. Due to great good fortune, we're able to partake in the Sankirtan movement, and Sankirtan, that purifies the intelligence. Bhurijan Prabhu recounted that in Australia once, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing, and you know this one? He said, Srila Prabhupada said that if you retain your semen up to the age of 24, you'll become very intelligent. And looking around at all the disconsolate faces of the men around him, Srila Prabhupada said that, but if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll also become intelligent. So, it requires intelligence to take to this Krishna consciousness movement, but not the a kind of intelligence that people think is, in the normal sense, is considered crazy. Shortly after I was admitted in the doors of this movement, I asked Mukunda Goswami, who was a something, brahmachari, something like that at the time. I asked him, how is it that so many crazy people join this movement? I'd just been in the movement a few days. And he said, that's a very interesting question. I asked the same question to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada replied that, well, you have to be somewhat crazy to join this movement. What does crazy mean here? Srila Prabhupada also wrote a pamphlet, Who is Crazy?
That's the first book I ever read, actually. Who is Crazy? The first thing I ever read.
Because that was a standard accusation against the devotees. Nowadays, to jump around the streets of a city dressed in Indian ethnic clothing with a shaved head and a little ponytail at the back, and that might be considered almost boring compared to what some other people do. It's like you can't shock anyone nowadays.
Oh, you could.
But yeah,
you can always go further.
You can always go further. But since those days, there have been people with spikes of green and purple hair coming out of their head, and with razor blades sticking out of their mouth, and all such things, which are normal.
Don't forget the tattoos. You know,
the tattoos
on your face. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So that's normal. So devotees are quite staid compared to many of the things. But at the time, it was considered not only crazy, but outrageous. It was a challenge to the status quo, that why aren't you like us? So devotees were often accused of being crazy, and Srila Prabhupada made a pamphlet, Who is Crazy, to show that actually devotees are sane and most intelligent. So one who takes to this Krishna consciousness movement, they are intelligent because they want to go beyond the humdrum existence of this world and find out what is the essence of everything. And one who takes to Krishna consciousness, they become most intelligent. In that verse, that adanta go bihi, uncontrolled senses, this is one major point which the so-called intelligent people of the world of course, there are some exceptions, but especially in the modern age, the very idea of sense control is, it's not on the agenda at all. But without sense control, one is not civilized, and one's intelligence cannot develop. Real intelligence means to understand the cause of all causes, Brahma, atato Brahma jignasa. We should inquire into that. And knowledge of that is revealed by the Sankirtan movement. Vidya vadhu jivanam. The Sankirtan is the life of the wife who is knowledge. So devotees are actually very intelligent. And what we're studying here, this Srimad Bhagavatam, it's cosmogonal. I think that term was used by one of your, in relation to Bhagavad Gita, one of your transcendentalists.
Yeah, Thoreau.
Oh, Thoreau, he said that. Cosmogonal. It's even beyond the cosmos. No one discusses such things. Such high philosophy, deep philosophy, deep understanding, the whole concepts are beyond even the thought pattern. People don't even think about these things, what we are discussing here among ourselves. So it is a great challenge which Srila Prabhupada set to certain of his disciples, those who are most intelligent, to convince the intelligent class of men, as Srila Prabhupada said, about Krishna consciousness. That is a great task, because they are the people who are in many ways influencing society, and we don't know. Most people are unaware of the various influences that have shaped our culture, even coming from hundreds of years. Jesus, of course, St. Paul, they've influenced the culture, the whole Christian culture, and then persons like Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas and Nietzsche, and so many. We don't realize how much all influenced by them, but by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have got the answers to all the problems, even the problems that they don't know is a problem. The real problems, birth, death, old age, and disease. They don't even perceive it as a problem. They're so far behind in their thinking. So that is a great challenge. It's like a Prahlad Hiranyakashipu. The difference between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu in power and influence is much more than David and Goliath. Prahlad took full shelter of Nrisimhadev, and Hiranyakashipu was vanquished. Our task would be more of a war of attrition. We have to distribute these books, preach the message in these books. And it seems very difficult how we can even get into discussion with such people, because they set the paradigms in such a way that the academia is such that you don't get funding unless you play the party line, whatever, whichever discipline it may be. So this is a major part of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. We see that Srila Prabhupada himself, he founded his movement, he traveled to nurture the tender saplings of bhakti that his disciples were cultivating. But a lot of his time went in presenting these books, which he sometimes said are meant for his disciples, sometimes said they're for sincere people, sometimes said they're meant for the most intelligent class of people. And he personally liked to meet what he called the intelligent class of people to try to convince them about Krishna consciousness. And when he first came to the West, it seems, I took this from your observation, that Srila Prabhupada expected that he would move among the more intellectual circles, the thoughtful people, and discuss Krishna consciousness with them. That's how he expected it to go. But as it happened, he got the hippie class, and he worked with who he could work with. And the hippies were actually mostly from a more intellectual kind of background, but not considered very respectable in human society at that time. So Sumedha Saha, those who are very intelligent, those who perceive that which is not immediately perceivable, that's also one symptom of intelligence. Those who are blessed by Krishna with good intelligence, they can take to this Krishna conscious movement, and it's just a thought as I finish here, that that is a great task for our movement, to contact the intelligent class of people and present to them Krishna consciousness as the highest truth, the most intelligent, the best use of their intelligence, the proper use of their intelligence. Hare Krishna, Shri Narasimhadev ki jai, Shri Prahlad Narasimha ki jai. Hare Krishna, I have to prepare to leave now. Thank you very much to all the devotees, as Jai Satchinandan said this morning, for a memorable festival, which is made possible by the participation of all the devotees. I have been particularly the kirtans and the quality of lectures. As you see, devotees have been studying Prabhupada's books and meditating on them for 40 years. And
a few sparks of intelligence, maybe, yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, transcendental insight. So all of you younger devotees, you please study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully and pray to Lord Narasimhadev for intelligence. He also gives intelligence. Hridaye samvit. In his heart is samvit. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.